welcome to the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
So glad you're here.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're going to be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through. Because they built your muscle. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your hurting.
This is Madeline Bass. I'm your host of So Real with Madeline, where we're keeping it real daily by creating greater lifestyles, by changing our status, and raising our standards. Welcome to the show once again. Today is Monday, July the 11th, 2016, and we're pushing forward and growing who we are. I want you guys to know that you have a purpose. You have a plan. You matter. And I know you guys are like, oh, I'm so sick of hearing that, but lives matter. You matter. Not just lives, but you. Your life matters. What you do, who you are, what you accomplish, who your children, your ministries, your businesses, what you do matters because that leaves your legacy. That is who you are. So let's be excited and moving forward. And I know I'm glad that you're here. So I want to start out. We got five questions for you today. And I know that it's going to be full of questions to grow you. And, you know, of course, here we want to grow you. It's important that you find out your path, your vision, your goal, what it is that you have, and then you find your way to getting it done through prayer, through scripture. You get your own motivation. So question number one. I mean, we're going to keep it moving. Question number one is, how do you want your family and friends to remember you? How do you want your friends and your family to remember you? And, you know, a lot of people will be, you know, I was this good person, you know, things like that. But if you're building a legacy, you're building a business, you're building your vision, your purpose, it's going to be bigger than just you and your circle, your family. And what are they going to say about you when you're gone? You know, a lot of people don't really like to think about that, but that's where we are right now. Death has no preference, but you have a vision, you have a goal, something that God gave you to do. So when your friends and family, when you're gone and they're sitting on that front row and you've moved forward to your next, your new life, your home, What are they gonna say about you? What are they gonna think about you? The things that you've accomplished or the things that you did and how good or how bad, what will they remember about you? So our topic today is remember me now and then miss me later. It's okay to miss me, but if you're missing me based on some good things, that's gonna help that person to heal. You know, we don't want to talk about these things. Tragedies are happening all around us. People, the enemy is rampant. He's going through and he's killing off good people. He's tainting and tarnishing the visions of the right now of the children. We got people in politics can't focus on running the country because they're too busy being mad at each other. You're bringing up dumb points. The news is flooded with crazy. And then that's what we entertain and feed ourselves. So people wonder why we're in the state that we're in. So how will people remember you? We remember Martin Luther King. We remember Rosa Parks. We remember a childhood Big Bird, Ernie and Bert. You know, we remember those things because it's a fun time for us. Childhood friends, grandma's house, you know, playing at the park, out in the country in the woods. We used to ride bikes and build our own ramps. How are you going to remember me? You know, a lot of my friends, girl, I remember the time we were playing baseball outside down at the end of the road, which we called it. It was just a circle. Back then, it was a circle where people turned around, but we called it the end of the road. And I could play some mean stickball and some mean softball, but we started with playing with a baseball because that was like the next step. That was our next. And I was really good. But the problem with that was I had scoliosis of the lower spine and I had asthma. Not two good combinations for an athlete, right? But I didn't mind getting out there and giving my best. And I always got picked first because I could hit from either side, left or right, and I could run, and I didn't care about sliding into them bases. Even though we had grass burrs on the ground, you know, a lot of times you running over, you might hit a piece of glass. You know, we didn't care. I was out there playing, I was having fun. But when I was the catcher, I would catch and I could pitch. And you could also put me in outfield because I could catch it really well. Throw the bat, and they would sling it back when they ran. It hit me in the head, hit me in the leg. I'll be standing at home plate pitching. The boys would hit that ball, and I would, you know, close my legs to catch it, and I'd have baseball prints on my thighs. So, but they remember you, no matter what, you were truly a sport about it, good sport. You know, I didn't take it personal. I didn't get angry. I didn't get mad. But I would do a lot of things. I would play. I raced them on baseball when we had a bicycle. A lot of things we did. So when they remember our childhood, what do you remember about your friends? Did they pick on you? Were there bullies in the area? Were you the bully? Next question I want to ask you is, do you believe your life is a living legacy or a fading memory? What are you doing? I mean, are people not talking to you, being around you, hanging around you, and for what reason? A lot of times, don't get it wrong, sometimes to you what may be a fading memory may be God clearing the path. So we need to not feel like just because your circle of old friends is fading doesn't mean that the new ones that God's got coming to you, they're going to take you to your next, because the place that you're in, the circle that you start to draw into, are going to be people who are where you are. You draw who you are. You attract who you are. And that's how God says, you know, he says, I draw you near to me. The only way you're going to be able to be drawn by him is if you are willing to go to where he is and what he's doing. That's drawing. He's doing things, and he's making creations, and he's creating miracles and blessing people and doing a lot of things. And we want to be drawn to that. We're hypnotized by the grace and beauties of God. That's what that is. And we get that so caught up in the right now here, and this is our home. We planting our flag. We stomping our feet. We done. I'm not going anywhere, but there's some day when you're not going to be here. Whether you are in a bed somewhere, don't know who you are, you're dead and gone, or you moved away. There are all types of scenarios of where you won't be around, and you moved on to wherever that something is. But the one something that a lot of people do not want to work on or think about is being passed away. You're going on home, your home-going service. And what are the preparations that you've had in that? Do you have a life insurance policy? That's something we don't want to talk about because nobody wants to talk about dying. How will you leave your family? How will they remember you? Will you leave them full of debt, bad memories? Will you leave them because you didn't have the love in your heart for your family to make sure that they could provide? Maybe you're the man of the house, and I hear it a lot of times. Well, I'll be dead, so it won't matter. So if they lose their house and lose their cars because you didn't do what you needed to do so that they could bury you, it still costs. They could cremate me. It still costs. There's still an expense that if you're struggling before you die, there's still that expense. Maybe you were sick for a period of time, and they have got all these medical bills, and they're going to get hounded until they get that taken care of. So your family is left behind struggling because you didn't think of them enough to take some precautions. And that's how we're supposed to do. When our families are not saved, when they die, when they leave here, they're going to hell. Do you want that responsibility? What is the life insurance policy for their salvation? What are you doing? What kind of living legacy are you leaving where they see you praying, they see you pressing through, they see you trusting God, even in the visions of people don't even understand? I use Noah a lot of times because he is the most powerful example to me of a person person, a full person, that truly heard the voice of God and what he was to do and did it. It took him 120 years to get it done. People called him crazy. He was a drunkard. You know, there were a lot of things that he got name called. But because other people didn't see it, it didn't stop him from doing what God had for him. So how will people remember you? They're gonna, those individuals got killed in the flood, but because he had ears to hear and he got his family and the family trusted him in what he was doing and they followed the leadership of Noah, they were saved. They were now going to start the world over. And that's where we are. When there's a new baby in the world, that's an opportunity to start your legacy over. So what are people saying to that baby, that grandbaby, that great-nephew, that aunt, that what are they saying about you? Do they not want you around them because you're a negative vibe or you're always broke or maybe you steal when you go over there? You you might be nasty. You know, we don't know, but why are you not welcome in that space? What are those reasons? Do you communicate with them? Do you talk to them? So how do you remember people? How are you going to remember? How are they going to remember you when you're gone? Question number three is, what do you tell yourself when times are challenging and there is no one around? What do you tell you? How do you encourage yourself? That's another question. That's the next question. Are you able to? That's the next thing. Are you able to encourage yourself? So what do you tell yourself when times are challenging? And if you can't answer that, that means you need to get in your word more. You need to hear God more through prayer. You need to evaluate you, and you need to talk to the Spirit in you. If there is no one else around you, God is always, he's ever present. And so many times we just don't, we want to rely on people, but we don't rely on God and the God in us. He dwells within us, and we house the Spirit. So it means we need to keep our heart and minds focused on him. And the most important thing is we need to love him with all of our strength. We don't do this as believers, and that is why a lot of people are struggling with all of the things that are going on today. They don't understand it. I can't believe people are doing this. The enemy is doing his job, but we as believers, we're not allowing God to work through us to do ours. We want Jesus to come back and fight the war instead of us trying to stop some of these casualties of war simply because hate is going to be there. It is not going anywhere. Hate is there. The enemy is real, and hell is real. I know we don't want to hear this, but this real talk. So real, Madeline. And I'm going to keep it real with you today. So remember me now with what I'm doing. I'm following the will of God, and I don't care who don't like it. I don't care if you don't see it. It's not your vision. What I do care about is that the things that I share with you calls you to think about your own life. If we will be focused on the things that we're not doing that God has assigned for us, the world would be in a better place. We're losing our government to the enemy because we don't want God in it. We took prayer out of school, and you wonder why your children are crazy. We can't discipline our children. We're not even at home enough to raise our kids. Why? Because we're too busy doing our own thing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have babies, you're doing the things that make a baby. Don't get shocked. Don't get surprised. Step up. Time for you to stop doing the things you're doing. Don't go get an abortion because you ain't ready or you don't know who the baby daddy is. Maybe you were in an affair and the man wants you to kill the baby or you want to kill the baby because you're sleeping around on your husband. Flip the script. Look at the whole thing. You put yourself in that position. It ain't God's fault you got pregnant. If God is trying to tell you something, you do those things, there's consequences that go with all of your actions, good or bad. And we need to own up to those. So how do you remember me? Will you remember me solely on the bad choices that I made? Or will you remember me now and say, you know what, God really used her. God did some things in her life because I know her story. I know what she's been through. So can you encourage yourself when there ain't nobody else around by saying, God, you kept me. I love you. Talk to him. Talk to him and let him move in you. The last thing I want to ask you is, what is your current situation? And is it taking your life? What is your current situation? What are you in right now that you believe is impossible or you've been blaming somebody else or you've taken on that you just, I don't know what to do, I'm ready to quit? you took a job, you got in a marriage, whatever the situation may be, these are things that we as people let kill us. And the way it kills you is it consumes your mind and it breaks your heart and it slows down your growth and holds back your spirit. Simply because we don't want to do what God has for us. He will tell you that's not the man or woman for you, but we'll go after them anyway. They look too good, smell too good, taste too good, whatever the case may be. These are things that we do physical. We go based on what we want. We let our flesh decide instead of our spirit. So how do you want to be remembered? I want people to remember me now because when I'm gone, they're going to miss me. And will somebody miss you? It don't matter if it's one person. What kind of impact are you making positive? We got plenty of negative. What kind of positive impact are you making on people's lives? And if people want to understand or know what's going on with the way of the world, it's because we're all becoming selfish. We want what we want, and we want everybody else to do what we want instead of allowing each individual to do what God has for them to do, because the church is a body. It's the church body, and there are arms, there are eyes, there are ears, there's a voice, there's a nose, there's legs. The church has to make a body, so each of us has something different to do in order for the church to continue to survive, basically, to live. The heart of the church is Christ. And guess what? That heart is infested. It's got cancer of hate. Selfishness. We don't want to do the things that God has for us. And as he says, our heart is wretched because we want what we want. We don't want to do what God has for us because it's too hard or I don't have the time, I don't feel like it, I don't want to, because we've given so much of our time and energy to that situation or circumstance in our lives. And you are the only one that knows that. I can't tell you what those things are. I'm just listing some things that I notice with the way of the world. The thing that I hear the most is they don't have time. I work 12 hours and I'm tired when I don't feel like getting up going to work. I get off from work, I can't sit in the church, fell asleep. You know, there are so many things that we can make as an excuse of why we're not giving God time. And you wonder why your life is upside down and crazy. Why is this happening to me? Sometimes God has to shake you to get your attention. So Christ has come. He did what he was supposed to do, and he left. Now, how are we remembering him? And I'm going to stop. Y'all know when I stop, I'm giving you a chance to think about that. That's a piece of meat for you to chew on for a while. So let's take that me out of there. And you notice, those of you who are looking on the screen, I made the me little, and I made the now big. Remember me now. Christ says when we take communion, do this in remembrance of me. He came down and he walked a journey that none of us would be willing to do for not one person. And we won't even do it for him. We ask people to do things for us, and we're not willing to do things in return. How many of us have asked people to borrow some money? And you know that person has money. So you, in your mind, it's like, I'm really not going to pay this money back because they ain't going to miss it. How many of y'all out there are honest enough with yourself? And then you wonder why that person has disconnected from you. They'll talk to you, they'll cordial with you when they see you. They're not going to be ugly, but they're not the type of friend, and you know it, or family member that's going to beat you over the head the fact that you borrowed some money from them. And I'm not going to even say $20, $30. I'm going to say you borrowed $1,000 from them. You borrowed some money because you needed an out because you were careless with your funds. You weren't responsible with your 90, some with 100%, because you're not even tithing. You won't plant a seed. You won't invest in something else or someone else when God tells you to. Are you a selfish heart? Are you a selfish spirit? Are you that type of person that drains individuals because you are take, 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 but there's no giving? I've experienced it. I know you have. So I'm just telling you what God's given me. So please, y'all, I love y'all anyway, but this is real talk. It's time out for us to be babysitting other believers. We need to get to the place where I can accept criticism and I can accept when God sends someone to me simply because there's going to be word. They're not going to be ugly to me. They're not going to be cussing or talking down to me. They're going to come to me as a, and I will be able to receive it. God will use that individual to talk to me because we're not listening to our spirit. So he places people strategically in your life so that you can have someone to talk to you, your pastor, a ministry leader, sometimes friends or siblings. Who do you listen to? Who's in your ear? And when they're gone, will you miss them? And if you will miss them, that means that they were a very important part of your life. So do you remember Christ now? Do you remember him in your situation? And let's put him in those questions. How do you want Christ to see you when you're there? Do you want him to remember you, to know you? When you get in the presence of God, the next one, do you believe his life leaves as a legacy for us, or is it a fading memory? The next thing I want you to think about is, what do you tell yourself in challenging situations when he's not around? And if he's not around, what does that say? You're either not saved or you shut your ears to him. Are your ears open? He who has ears, let him hear. So what are you doing in those challenging situations when he's not around, when you think he's not there, when you believe that God has left you and when he's abandoned you? Where are you in that challenging situation? You got to open up yourself to him. Are you able to be encouraged by him? At first it was us. Can you encourage yourself? It's going to be a challenge for you to be able to do that without him. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Lastly, what situation are you in? And is it taking your spirit? Is it taking him away from you? Because he's there. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you even until the end of time. We drift away. We decide we don't want him. We acknowledge him, remember him when we want something. We pray to him, God, give me this, give me that, give me this. But we don't want to do the things that he's asked of me. The simple things is even with Ten Commandments. Don't covet somebody else's. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't have no other God before me is number one. But yet we will put family, friends, job, money, success, you know, no matter what, we put it ahead of him. He is a jealous God. What are you putting before him? Then move on down that thing. Don't be wanting somebody else's husband or wife. Don't be wanting somebody else's kids. Don't be wanting to be somebody else, their character, who they are. You can develop that within yourself. So who are you? Remember me now. And if you don't believe that somebody will not miss you, then you need to check your spirit. You need to check that because God is giving you time. That's why you are still here. He's giving you time to do what he has assigned you to do. Your race, you're still running it. He says, do not tire in well-doing. We get tired, we get weary, and then we quit because it's too hard. Ain't nobody helping me. I don't want to do this by myself. But Jesus went to that cross all by himself. Granted, he had someone pick that cross up to carry it the rest of the way, but he did the hard part already. He went and did the hard part already. They done whipped him, took skin off of him. He don't even look human. He done the hard part. And we want to come in and pick up where after the hard part has gotten done with the people in our lives that we say we going to miss when they gone. How do you treat these people? These people in your life, and most importantly, how are you treating the spirit that you're having? And if you can't answer that and you don't know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added. If you are missing out on your salvation and you're not sure, John 3:16, we say it all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You will not perish because he will remember you now. He will remember you. He's there for you. He's listening to you. He's even talking to you. But are you willing to hear what he has to say? Are you listening to him? That's the important thing. Are you listening to him? Or do you choose to just have selective hearing? Selective, you want to do what you want to do when you get ready. And you still expect God to give you these abundant blessings that you're asking for. You can't manage your money now, but you want him to give you millions. You can't manage your time now, but you want him to give you more. You can't manage the job that you have now, your children now, but you want God to give you more. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with the life that he has given you? And the questions that are being asked, ladies and gentlemen, I've asked them of myself. I'm not going to give you something that I am not willing to do myself. I have to self-evaluate myself every day because there are days that I do. I feel like, what's the point? I feel like I'm being used. I feel like my time is being abused. I feel like that it's pointless to share or even to be a good person simply because no one cares about the one that's doing well except the enemy. He's the only one going to focus his time on you because he wants you to curse God and die. He wants you to put God aside. He wants you to not fulfill the legacies and the things that God has for you. He doesn't want you to be successful. He doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want your mind to be free of the bondage of your past. He wants you to stay stuck and remember over and over and be angry and furious and allow these situations and circumstances in your life to consume you until it kills you, literally. Some people have heart problems, blood pressure problems, because they can't let go of some things of their past. They can't forgive. That will literally snuff the life out of you. It will exhaust you, put you in a state of depression. And you can't think about the things of God before you because you're too busy stuck hanging out with the devil with the stuff behind you. You remembering what? Remember me now. Because I want you to miss me later. I want to make a difference. I want to leave a legacy of positive, wonderful, beautiful inspirations to people who I will never meet or have never met. I want them to say, you know what, I remember that Soul Rule Man. And they play them over, they go back and they listen to them, and I remember them. We remember Prince. We remember Michael Jackson. We remember Whitney Houston. We remember all of these movie stars who died and going on. Ain't even laid your eyes on them. But yet we cannot talk to or be close to and embrace our family. Church family, best friend, play friends, play brother, whatever. We mistreat those who are in our presence because they hurt your feelings. We'll do it. That's people. Hurt your feelings, you done with them. But how many times do you hurt, you grieve your spirit? How many times does God look down and see you living the life that you're living and you're trying to justify it and you make him weep? Jesus wept. He did not want to do what he did for us, but he did it anyway because he loves us. So remember me now. I'm Madeline Bass, and this has been Empowering Your Mind. I want you to think about the things that God has for you and get to work. Move and build that lifestyle of legacy and matter to someone. Don't worry about what you will get out the deal. Do what God has for you to do because that person that he's assigned to you needs you. They need you to grow, and they need you to know, and they need you to pray. And if you don't know how to do any of those things for someone else, that may be why you're struggling within yourself because it has to start with you first. You have to know for yourself. You have to grow for yourself, and you have to pray for yourself so that you can move forward to help others live a life that God has for them. Live by example and love unselfishly. Okay? Have a great evening. Bless.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're going to be.